Hello and welcome to the RTÉ Olympics podcast, the last RTÉ Olympics podcast. And it would be great to be going out with a medal. It really would. But Jesus, if you're going to come fourth, that's one hell of a way to come fourth. But Jesse Barr, athletics is a stupid sport anyway, and I never liked it.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone do athletics. It's cruel and mean and
It really
unfair
is.
on days like this.
Yeah, let's just remind people of the pain. After Rashid Adeleke came fourth in the 400-meter final last night, she obviously joined the team for the 4x400-meter relay tonight, the last event of the athletics meet in the Stade de France. And they were fourth by 0.18 of a second behind the United States, who ran away with it quite literally, the Netherlands, and then Great Britain. So three, Jesse, absolute. Powerhouses of women's sprinting, United States and Great Britain have been there for a long time, but the Netherlands have an exceptional generation, much like Ireland do, and are expected to medal at these kind of events. They obviously did so well in the mixed relay as well. That's expected for Ireland to be mixing it with them. It's not just platitudes, and it's not saying a nice thing in defeat. It is kind of stunning for Ireland to come fourth in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sorry, my voice is a little bit hoarse coming into today. My ho voice is very hoarse after that. I was screaming them around the track as if I could be the one to make up that 0.19 of a second. Like, the times they ran are just incredible. And I was watching from above when they were doing their interview with David Gillick, and I have gotten feedback. I haven't heard the interview yet, but obviously it's just happened. But the feedback was that they were kind of processing the race during the interview. There was tears start, there was laughs at the end, and I think it's going to take a while to process, but I think what they really need to come away with is hopefully pride. Obviously they can only taste the bronze medal, I would say, coming down that home straight. It was that close. But like the time they ran to win that, I mean, to put this into context, because in case people are thinking, oh, they didn't run fast enough or they didn't have it, the times that they all ran collectively were incredible. And then to run a 3:19, when I ran at the games in London with the relay team, our national record at the time was 3:27. In
Right.
10 years, we've taken that length of time, they've taken 8 seconds off the national record, which is already a national record which stood for quite a while. And so this is an incredible time. Probably, I haven't looked at the stats on it yet, it's all still so fresh, probably the fastest non-medaling time, I would say, in a relay. Like, to run a time like that, the same as Rashida yesterday, to run times like that and not win medals is cruel. It just shows where the sport is going, but it just shows that we're mixing it with the best now. This is not us, just hoping to get into a final anymore. Like, we are real medal contenders, and we're always going to be seen as that. I really thought all day I had this gut feeling it was going to be bronze. I really did, and it nearly was. But I mean, it took, again, big national records from the likes of the US, the Netherlands, and GB to keep them off that podium. And these are very well established teams, as you said. We are not known as a sprinting nation. I think we are now, but we certainly weren't before maybe a year ago. So look,
Yeah.
it's really incredible, and I hope they can see that. But look, there's going to be disappointment for a while.
There is. And Raf, obviously you may not have seen the interview either, but Charlene Maudsley is pretty hard on herself. She says you can't help but feel it's your fault when you run the fourth leg. And obviously everybody told her to shut up politely when she said that, because obviously it's not true. But that's how it feels, because Phil Healy, Raf, put her in an amazing position. Phil Healy, like, people were expecting her to be kind of hunted down, and she kind of held her own. Charlene Maudsley got the baton kind of where she likes to get it, with three people in front of her that she could keep an eye on, and it did look set up. And but she ran out of her skin. It was just the quality of the women running the fourth leg. It was too much.
Yeah, there's not much you can do. And when you look at that number, I think 0.18 is gonna haunt us for a while. Like, it's hard to even quantify how small that is. Because I mean, for Rashida Adeleke yesterday, it was quite agonizing. This is more agonizing for this team. I mean, when it comes to the gap, I was up, my voice is a little bit hoarse as well, because I'm supposed to be writing a report, but I'm actually finding myself up on my feet and I'm screaming, and I'm not a screamer really, so my voice is done. But I really thought for a second when she was coming down the final bend, Charlene, I thought they had it there. But as I think Jesse has said already, it took an almighty effort from the Dutch and the British to tip Ireland. And you know, it'll take a while for them to process this, but they will take a lot of pride from it when, you know, in the cold light of day, and that could take weeks, months, or whatever it does. I'm sure, you know, Irish fans everywhere are hugely proud of them. And there's not much you can do. That's it. You know, that's, I think, you know, Jesse's used the phrase, empty the tank already. That is what they've done. There's not much else there. What can you do?
Yeah. There was a famous ad a few years ago, this is rugby country now, and obviously it's turned into a bit of a joke, you know, our rugby country. I think Ireland's an athletics country now, because if we have Raf Diallo shouting and screaming in a press box, Raf is a Raf's a pretty understated guy, people. He's not a shouter, he's not a roarer. He kind of, you know, he keeps his cards close to his chest. I would think it's safe to say. So if we, the image of you shouting and roaring now, Raf, I think we're now an athletics country.
I was possessed a bit like the Exorcist or something, I think, but it is what it is. Look, we're at an Olympics. Yeah. This is what it is.
Let's break it down a little bit, Jesse. Sophie, like, she's excellent out of the blocks, obviously. That's why she's given that role. And it was, you know, she ran a phenomenal time. She was right in the mix, kind of handing over. And that's very important as well, isn't it? Because, you know, she ran 50.9. She was the fourth fastest on her leg. Giving Rashida the baton so that Rashida can do Rashida things. It's very important that Rashida doesn't have too much to do. You know, she's an absolute asset in the second leg, but she needs to have something to work with.
Yeah. And look, I think watching the race today, you know, we saw Sophie do that incredible 50.9 split yesterday. She actually split the same again today. And it mightn't have looked as fast as yesterday, but that's because the US handed over the baton in 48.6 seconds. Like, that's incredible. Like, that's unheard of in women's sprinting. So, you know, it's not, if anyone watches and think, oh God, was someone the weak link? It wasn't the case. It was just, they were up against people who were dropping the most insane times I've ever seen. So yeah, she still set them up so well again to back up yesterday's performance. I know that'd be a huge confidence boost for her from her own personal point of view, and just gave Rashida really, you know, again, okay, there was a few more people around her, it wasn't as clear, but like, we know what Rashida can do. She just put on the full gas and gave it to Phil in such a good position. Like, there's not one of those girls who could say that they didn't do enough. And they all gave each other like a really good opportunity to get that bronze medal. You know, Rashida just looked so good. And like I said it yesterday, she was a wounded animal, you know, that she was coming in fourth, and she could see that she really did empty the tank and give it absolutely everything, because my God, did she set up Phil well for that third leg.
Yeah, let's put a bit of context on this, because I think a lot of people might have seen yesterday the mess the US made of the 4x100 meter relay, and Karen Lewis kind of took to X last night with a screed, basically saying, yeah, we need to like tear it all down and start again. This is ridiculous. So I would say there was a bit of motivation in the US team today. Rashida's second leg was the second fastest second leg, 48.92. Sydney,
I'm McLaughlin, sure the other fastest was Sydney McLaughlin. What did
47.7. Like, that
like, these are silly. This is silly times. Like, it's actually silly. Like, I can't even put this into words how ridiculous that woman is. But again, like, for Rashida to be the second fastest behind the woman who just set this incredible world record over the hurdles. Like, we're mixing it up with these incredible athletes. And you were talking about these incredible athletes. Our girls are those incredible athletes as well. Now, we talk about them being world class. Like, they are. They are part of that world class group. And you know, she had, like, Rashida, you know, running a 48 set up Phil so well. And you know, we were talking about it yesterday, where are we going to find the extra time? Phil took a second off her time from yesterday. You know, the adrenaline of being in Olympic final was in all of them, because they all went faster, the same if not faster, as yesterday. You know, and I saw Phil put up this beautiful post, and it was very short, just put up something about how last year she decided to step away from the team. She'd come back from an illness, decided to step away from the world championships because she felt she had nothing to offer to the girls. So, you know, Phil has just been a stalwart of this team for such a long time, and for her to be dropping times like that, I'm just, you know, it's amazing to see. I'm really proud of her. And then obviously poor Charlene, I know she'd be gutted, and I know it's hard not to feel that like you are to blame. This is a four person team. Just because you're the one who finishes it, it's not on Charlene. And I know we all just expect her to be able to just pass people, because we've seen her do it so many times. When you're up against the caliber of athletes who are all world finalists, almost world medalists, when the people she's running against, it is a huge ask, you know. So her to be beating herself up like that, I think it just shows the standard she's setting for herself.
no reflection on Shelley Mosley, because I've seen her run so many fourth lengths recently. I know what she can do.
And a 49.1, is that what you said she split?
She split a 49.14, yeah.
I'd say that's her fastest ever split.
Yeah, I'd say it probably is. So, but when you could see her coming around the top bend, and she was in third at the time, or she was in third at the time, and I was just like, no, Femke Ball is going to pass right. That's not being mean. It's just like Femke Ball is Femke Ball. And I said Amber Anning was so good in the 400 meters. I said she's gonna, like, I in my head I was saying it to my wife, but I was like, no, this isn't gonna be that close. And next thing she just hung on there. It was just like Amber Anning was the one who was clinging on, and she ran 49 dead pretty much.
And if you think about it, she was in that 400 against Rashida, and she chased everyone down in that last 50 meters yesterday. So she the danger in that last 100 meters, and I didn't even think of her on that last leg. I kind of nearly overlooked her, but we shouldn't have, because she did nearly catch Rashida yesterday. So
yeah,
look, again, it's the caliber of athletes that these girls are mixing it with, and they are that caliber as well.
Yeah. Raph, give us an idea of, like, besides yourself roaring and screaming, what was the atmosphere like? Yet again, there seemed to be a lot of tricolours in the Stade de France.
Yeah, all over the place. That's been the story of this Olympics as well. The Irish have come out in force. You see them out in the concourses. You see them in the metro. You can close your eyes. You hear the accents. So you do feel like you're at home. I think I said it after the Kelly Harrington fight, because you didn't really see any other nationalities at that time of night when I was going to the metro. And then in the metro itself, like, there's just like Ireland rugby jerseys, Ireland soccer jerseys.
Mayo jerseys.
Yeah, a lot of Clare people have come out of the woodwork since the hurling final as well, because you see a lot of them. I've seen a lot of them at the golf. Like, they've come out in numbers. Obviously, Paris isn't a million miles away. I'm sure the story was the same in London. And the atmosphere in here was brilliant, and great cheer for the girls when they came out for the announcement. So it was brilliant. I wouldn't have been able to pick out any Irish voices once the deflation kind of set in, because it's an entire stadium there. But I'm sure, like, in the cold light of day, there'll be a huge amount of pride among the fans. I'll probably see it on the way out when I head back to the metro, back into town. And I'm sure we'll see it. I keep calling it town. This is it's like it's Dublin.
Big town.
Yeah, city centre. Paris city centre. Sorry. There we go. I will see a lot of Irish there, and I'm sure there'll be a huge amount of pride.
And one thing I will say, and I don't know if they showed it on TV, Mikey, but the girls did their own, not a lap of honour, but they walked over to a big group of Irish. I reckon it must be where some of their family were sitting in the stands. Sorry, someone should start playing music really loud. I know, is it okay? Still hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. But they walked over there, and they did kind of, like, you know, they walked around the top end waving, and Irish fans all stayed. The flags were waving. Everyone was waving and cheering, so there was something really nice that everyone recognised that's what they need at that moment, because they did still set a huge national record. There's still something to be really proud of, and the Irish fans did stay to kind of applaud them. No one seemed to leave, which was really nice, and I'd say it probably meant a lot to see that the flags were still being waved, because, you know, there is that moment of deflation when you see, and obviously fans are disappointed, you're disappointed for the girls, but to still, the flags were waving, we were still cheering for them, they had the little bit of a walk and wave, and I think that was a very special moment, so I'm really glad they did it.
Yeah, thoughts though, Raph, obviously for all the girls, but for Rashida, fourth 2 days in a row, that's like, hopefully Jesse the performance psychologist will tell us it's fuel for the fire, but right now, Raph, I'd say it stings.
Oh, it will. It'll certainly be gutting, especially given it's two nights in a row. The only consolation, if she does take a step back in a few days, weeks, months, whatever it is, she's only 21 years old, and her ceiling is far higher than that. So, you know, LA is, what, 4 years away? I think she said in the interview with David Gillick, it does feel very far away, but so that's her consolation. She will only get better. She's working with Coach Flo, and then whoever else she ends up working with in the future, those times will come down, and I would be fairly confident when it comes to, you know, future Europeans, Worlds, Olympics, she will get on the podium, whether it's in a relay or individually.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And Rashid, actually, Jesse, just finally, as a 4x400 veteran yourself, do the Jamaican team have any beef with Rashida there, or was that girl just holding the baton like an idiot?
Do you know what? We were talking about this after the race. I saw the baton drop. I didn't see what happened, and they didn't really show a replay. So you might actually have
Rashida was coming up her outside, and she was kind of running, and she had the baton, kind of a bit loose, kind of, she was kind of waving it, and she slapped it off Rashida's midriff, basically, and it fell out of her hand.
That's her own fault then, you know, like, this is something you train for as part of the 4x4. It becomes a little bit of a contact sport. You see what they will have done a lot of, especially in training, is baton pass, you know, the baton exchange, because that can get quite messy. Sometimes you can get the baton and turn around and there's just tired bodies, so it becomes like a bit of a sidestepping in rugby.
Yeah, you're hurdling people.
That's
one's
fault. Yeah, like if you're coming around
but
the
this was on the home straight. This was before the handover. She was just running.
I think it was on the bend.
Just coming off the bend. She was just running. Yeah. There was no, like, she was just, but she was kind of waving it a bit, I suppose, and she just kind of hit Rashida with
this. You train to prepare for it to be a little bit argy-bargy. So, you know, I suppose even though you train and expect it, when it happens, you know, because the fatigue is probably starting to hit in at the point where it happened as well. So it could have been just, you know, it just tipped off Rashida and it was enough to knock out of her hands. So,
yeah, there was a wonderful... Unfortunate. When you watch it back, because they showed the slow-mos of the handovers, and they were showing Rashida handing over to Phil Healy, and beside Phil Healy there was the Jamaican girl who should have been getting the baton, and she's just kind of leaning against the beside the timing unit or whatever it is at the start finish line, and she looked very unimpressed. She really didn't look very happy at all.
That's a tough one, really is. And I know I said it yesterday that if they dropped, someone dropped it, but like I said, you don't want anyone that to be the reason that you had passed anybody, but. Yeah. I did think initially when I saw it go down, I was like, okay, one less person to beat, great.
Good job, Rashida. Keep going.
That's just relay running. That's 4x4. It's as close to a contact sport as you're gonna get in sprinting.
Okay, well, look, before we come back and just wrap up this Olympics with the two, I think we should give the last word to the 4x400 relay team. So here's their interview with David Gillick now.
Ladies, that was an absolutely unbelievable performance. You take nearly 3 seconds off the national record. I know it's hard, it's a fourth place, but you were so close. Sophie, an amazing first leg. I know it's hard. What's going through your head?
I don't know, like, we're so hot, like, we're sad, we're, like, we couldn't have done any more. I don't know what to say, like, it's a definition of bittersweet. I don't know.
Rashida, I know yesterday a hard night, you dusted yourself down, you got involved in the team and you put in an unbelievable leg, an unbelievable second leg. Again, so close, but you must be proud of the team.
Absolutely. You know, for us to even be out here in the Olympic final and to come forth, we're breaking so many barriers. We're doing so well. We've really elevated as a team and we've all helped each other get to this point. And it's literally only up and upwards, onwards and upwards from here. We believed in each other, we trusted each other, and we put our best performance on the track today, and that's all I can ask for them. I'm so proud of them and I'm so excited to see what the future holds for us as a team.
Absolutely, Phil. Again, third leg, an important leg, and you held your own. You got the baton and you held your own. There's so much went right for you there.
Yeah, look, there's world-class athletes out there today and we held our own inside there. To come forward in Olympic Games is just, it's just madness, but it's what this team is capable of. And I'm just so proud of these girls. And, like, there's a squad of four out here today, but we have athletes back in warm-up. There's other athletes part of this squad qualifying. It's just, we have great management, personal coaches. Like, the support here in the stadium is unbelievable. It's just, back home, it's crazy. It's just amazing to be a part of this team, and to come away with fourth is very special.
It is. Look, I know it's tough, Charlene, and you lined it up. You did absolutely everything right. It wasn't a beat tonight, but the journey that not only you four, but the whole squad has been on is truly amazing.
Yeah, if you had told me only a couple of days ago that we would have come fourth, I would have been elated, but when you're out on that last leg, it does kind of feel like it's your fault. No. And I know I ran the best I could, and when Amber Anning came up on me, like, I'm aware Femke's behind me, and it's a hard leg, but yeah, I'm pretty devastated. I just wish I could have done it for the girls, and especially Rashida yesterday. It's just heartbreaking, but yeah, we still broke a national record, and that was my aim in the meeting today, so I can't ask for much more, I guess.
I know there's a lot of Irish in the stadium that were just willing you on, jumping up and down. The whole nation, the whole of Ireland was jumping up and down supporting you guys. There's people within athletics that would have never thought that we would have four talented ladies fighting for a medal at the Olympic Games.
I know, and even when I got the baton, like, I knew we were in such a good position, and you know, I did my best to see what we could do, and you know, the girls put me in such an amazing position, and I am obviously devastated that I couldn't hold on and get us that medal, but you never know in the future. The future of Irish sprinting is so bright. So,
well, as Rashida said, it's onwards and upwards again. The journey, Phil, you know, it's been an amazing week. It's an Olympic final. There's a lot to take away and a lot to be proud of.
Look, it's unbelievable. Like, before this year, our national record was 3:26. We walked away with 3:19. Look, this team belongs in major finals and now belongs in the world, like Olympic Games. Like, it's fourth in Olympic Games. It's just unbelievable. Like, we're so grateful for the support. We know what this team can do, and it's just, it's a very, very special time. Each of the girls had their own individual events, which is unbelievable to see. Rashida walked away as our first ever female sprint finalist, and now we've come away with fourth in the Olympic Games as well. Like, it's just unbelievable, and a special thanks to all the supporters here and everybody back home, because we really, really feel the support, and it's just amazing with this team and the whole of Team Ireland across all sports all week.
And it was a nice touch. You took the time, you went over, you almost did a lap of honour, and rightly so, but there's so many Irish here. I'm sure there was words of encouragement when you went over.
Absolutely, you know, they embraced us, they were so proud of us. And it just meant the world, because to us, it's bittersweet, you know. We feel like we really could have medaled, which we also have the potential to. And in the future, there'll definitely be some medals there. But they reassured us that how proud they were of us. And I think that's so important, because as athletes, we're so hard on ourselves. I'm so hard on myself, the girls. You see, the girls are so hard on themselves. So understanding how much the nation is proud of us and how much they back us, it means so much, because it just shows us the achievements that we just achieved.
Absolutely. And look, you guys are trailblazers. There's boys, and in particular there's girls that are looking up to you and watching at home. And I can see the hair bows. I know you all have them all tonight. But like, again, Sophie, an amazing week for yourself, and you replicated what you did in the heats out there in the first leg.
Yeah, I heard the crowd and I just ran until I couldn't run anymore, until I had to give the baton to Rashida. I think this morning we had a meeting and we were all kind of a little bit scared to say that we wanted a medal, because we knew we could get it, but we didn't want to jinx it. And someone has to be fourth, you know, today it's us, but we know, like, we deserve a medal and we'll be back, that's for sure. And one last thing, it's Charlene's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Charlene.
Thanks, guys.
Listen, a lot to be proud of, an amazing week for you all, onwards and upwards.
Thank you, thanks a million, David.
Welcome back. That was our 4x400 relay team, who finished fourth in the Olympics. Stunning. I don't know if that counts as anybody's favourite Irish moment from these Olympics, but I'm gonna get it from both of you now, your favourite Irish moment, your favourite non-Irish moment. So let's be patriotic and start with the Irish. Raf, your favourite moment from an Irish perspective?
I was there for Kelly Harrington, and I suppose the venue was spectacular, being Roland Garros. But the first goal I saw was Daniel Whippen, and I was sat beside our commentator, John Kenny, who was, I think some people will have seen the video, because I was filming. I had camera phone in one hand and trying to work away on the other, and it was just electric, absolutely electric. And you know, then seeing the tricolour, because it's the first experience I've had being in Olympics and seeing it for the first time, and then afterwards as well, meeting the parents and interviewing them outside. So it was just it was a very warm day, I have to say, as well, and I was a complete mess in terms of how I looked as well, but I think that just added to the whole atmosphere. So I think with honourable mentions, obviously, to being there for the Kelly Harrington moment, which was spectacular as well, the dancing in the ring with Sarah Antia, and the two rowers, of course, Fintan McCarthy and Paula Donovan, that was kind of special as well. But I think Daniel Whiffen, just for the entirety of that night, and John Kenny's company as well.
Okay, so he's been glory hunting for 2 weeks, Jesse, following gold medalists around. What's your favourite moment from an Irish perspective?
Yeah, it was great. We actually, when you had let us know that that's what you're going to be asking, it's been causing great conversations, and I'd be really interested to hear everybody else's. But for me, my favourite Irish moment was Reith winning the gold. From a personal level, I know the journey that's went into getting that, starting with the fall in Tokyo and the couple of years that followed. So that was really special. I was in floods of tears when it happened. I was so emotional. And to be there to witness, like, you know, again, we're saying this about a lot of people, there's history being made left, right and centre by this Irish team across the board. And obviously to see a first gymnastics medal, and just, I suppose, because there's that personal side for me, it was really, really special.
Yeah. I would have to say that we're going to outnumber you here, Raf, because for me, it was also Rhys McLennan. I think because, again, Tokyo and how brutal that was. It was also that I was actually kind of had a clue what was going on because I'd spoken to Marie Kavanagh a couple of times. So I kind of, not that I know how they scored or anything.
You're invested.
I don't know how they score it, but I kind of like just, she kind of explained to me like what should happen. And the first gymnast was very good and he got a good score and he was very clean. And then the British Max Whitlock went and he did what he did. And it was just, it actually worked out the way Marie Kavanagh explained it was. And then Rhys went, and it just the tension. The bloody tension of it is awful.
You know what? That's what it is. It's such a tense competition. Like, he went in there as probably almost nailed on favorite, but you know, it just takes something so small. And when you're watching it, you don't breathe for that whole time he's on the pommel horse, and then you're waiting for the score to come up. Like, the whole thing is racked with tension. So the feeling of seeing the score, I'll never forget the feeling of relief. Tears just flowed straight away.
Because the other,
was amazing.
The other thing about it then was that you actually kind of got to enjoy it because you knew that he was going to win, because once the American bloke didn't beat his score, the next three guys, you know, they're in the world, they're in the Olympic final, they're good, but they weren't really expected to do it. So you were just like, unless one of these guys does something he's never done before in his life, we're going to win a gold medal. And you actually kind of get to enjoy it, but it's still tense. Yeah. It was just kind of the perfect sporting event. It was kind of that you only get at the Olympics. Yeah. Sorry, Raf, we win, you lose. You know, you have enough gold medals.
There'll be plenty more. I'll accept. I was don't you worry.
I was delighted for him anyway, especially after everything he went through in Tokyo. I was delighted for him as well. But just, I wasn't there, so I never got to get the true emotion of it.
I wasn't there for any of them. So you see, I've got carte blanche here. So Jesse, I'll go to you first here for your favorite non-Irish moment.
So I was having a think about this, and I didn't have to think for very long, and I'm going to be very biased in my answer, but it was Sydney McLaughlin's world record in the 400 meter hurdles. Again, from a personal point of view, understanding what she did, knowing what she did, like the time that she ran, like, again, I talk about silly, scary times, the time she ran, and it was something I didn't ever think was possible. She continues to break these barriers. And what I was reading about it there during the week, and someone had, so there's an IAAF scoring system, which basically you can put in all the times and the performances, and they're ranked against each other, you know, based on like on their IAAF table. And hers has actually been ranked as the number one performance by a female athlete on the track in track and field. So, you know, when you realize and you think about who's gone before her, you know, that surpassed Flo Jo's world records, which we look like they're never going to be touched anytime soon. She is that generational athlete. And I think knowing how fast that is, because I have run her event, I think, you know, to witness that in person, because I remember my jaw literally dropped. So I'm seeing some Irish people over there. Hello. My jaw literally dropped when I was like literally physically dropped when I watched her run in Tokyo. But actually to get to witness that in person with a crowd, it was just really, really special.
And even more remarkable, at the end of it, she smiled, which is, you know, which she doesn't do very often. She looked happy.
No. She looked happy. She wore her little crown. Yeah, it was a cool moment.
She's a serious character.
She's incredible.
She's a very driven individual. I think she's the kind of person, she'd be frightening or whatever she decided to do. So she's decided that it's the 400 meter. And she'll probably switch to the flat at some point, Jesse, which is probably good/bad news for everybody else. It'll raise the profile, but it'll make it a lot harder to win medals.
It will. Well, that's the reason that the timetable is the way it is for the women's 400, because initially Sydney had suggested she was going to run it, and she was one of the world leading times coming into this. But we're glad she didn't, because her dropping out was what got Sophie Becker in. So thank you, Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
But yeah, so she, you know, she could have medaled in the 4 flat as well, which is crazy. But so that for me, I think witnessing something to that level in person, having the understanding of the event, was really, really incredible.
Cool. Raf, how about you? I think I have an idea where Raf's going, but go on.
It was actually something I just witnessed there just before the 4x400, because I was struggling for one. I'm not sure what you thought I was going to come up with. But
I thought you were going to say Leon Marchand, because you were in the La Défense a few times when he was swimming.
Yeah, but whenever, you know, I was sort of like very hyper-focused on Team Ireland, so I kind of tended to just have blinkers on when anything else was happening. Although you can obviously, every venue you're at, you can hear the French. My eardrums aren't going to be the same once I get back. It'll take a while. to get them back to normal. But no, it was Hamish Kerr, the New Zealand high jumper, and he was in a final with Shelby McEwen from the US, and they were locked level at 236. And what had happened 3 years ago in Tokyo, there had been a decision made between the Italian Tamberi and the Bahrain or the Qatari Barsham, where they had this moment, which was actually quite kind of wholesome, where they decided to share the gold medal.
That's right.
I think Jesse made the point as McEwen and as Kerr were when it came to that moment where potentially there could be a medal shared. I think you made the point, Jesse, that there was no chance that the US athlete was going to share that.
No, there was. I don't think there was even a word shared between them. It was just it seemed to be implied without even words being said. Yeah, so you're happy that the American got stuffed, is that it, Raf?
It wasn't quite that. It just happened to be I was buried in my work for a second, then I looked up, and just as Kerr was about to make his jump and he absolutely nailed it at 2:34, the poles go green, and it was just a special moment. He had his chance to kind of run across the center of the arena as well, so it was a nice thing to see.
Yeah, and he didn't get speared by a javelin, so it was good.
No.
Yeah, but it was
would have made it really interesting.
Yeah,
it's one of those kind of Olympic moments, and it was just lucky enough I looked up at the right time, just about to see it happen.
Can I add a bonus one in there, Mike?
Sure you can.
And I think it's just because I think I'd mentioned something else. I think you'd asked me at one stage about moments and stuff, and I think we have to definitely give props to the French crowd. And one of the other moments, if I didn't pick Sydney, was the women's 3K steeplechase, which I don't know a huge amount about. It wouldn't be one of the events I'd be as familiar with and familiar with the fields. But the French athlete went from, she did a bit of a Phil Healy at the depths of hell in the last lap. She went from seventh, and I think she made up about 60 metres to come fourth, smashing the European record. And you'd swear, I think the crowd made her levitate around. I have never heard anything like the noise that I did. So that was really, really cool to watch, to see a French athlete perform out of her skin as a result of the crowd. You talk about home advantage, that was it in action.
Oh wow, cool, totally.
So I think from the psychological point of view, I just found that fascinating.
Part of me wants to choose a certain Australian breakdancer as my highlight, non-Irish highlight, but I won't.
Doing the Razzies, that's my one.
Yeah, God bless her. I'm gonna say Quincy Hall. I just thought that finish, that 400 meters final, was insane. The fact, as I think I discussed it with David on a previous podcast, he kind of stopped running. He just kind of started doing lunges, and his tongue was hanging out of his mouth. And it was the least graceful running I've ever seen, but it was also the quickest running I've ever seen. He just ate up the track while looking like somebody who'd never run before in his life. It was phenomenal. It was just the most ridiculous thing, and it was just brilliant. And his reaction was just phenomenal. And also the fact that the poor English Hudson Hall, beaten in second, swore as he crossed the line, and everybody could see he swore. It was just it was very human, the whole thing. It was very, very human.
A couple of honourable ones, I suppose. Cole Hocker in the 1500, men's 1500.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. DuPont as well, I think, actually seeing him in the flesh. And with that French crowd there as well, he's an absolute magician in the rugby sevens, obviously in the 15s, we know, but he was brilliant. And just that whole adventure of the French team, who weren't impressive starting out, but they got better as that tournament went on.
Yeah. I said I'd give you two facts. The first one isn't quite a fact tonight. It's just, I think it's something, because you mentioned the New Zealand high jumper, Raf, and I think, New Zealand have had a really, they won the golf as well. They've had a really strong finish to this Olympics. So I just wanted to look at it. They won 9 gold medals, and they're 15 in total thus far. I think, obviously, they have a chance to win a few more. That's up from 7 in Tokyo, 4 in Rio, 6 in London, 3 in Beijing, 3 in Athens, 1 in Sydney. They kind of had a very bad Sydney-Athens kind of period, same as ourselves. But, often mentioned as a country quite similar to Ireland in terms of demographics, climate and stuff like that. I just think it's kind of encouraging. You can see that they've kind of, they've definitely taken a jump in recent years. And who knows, we might be able to build on this year. But my second one is, we're obviously in a halfpenny place to the rest, and it's very much up in the air who's going to be the gold, who's going to win, who's going to finish top of the medal table. China are top at the moment with 38 golds versus United States 37, but United States have 2 basketball finals, which are almost banker golds, and I think they have a water polo final. They have a couple more finals that you'd expect it to win, and China have some weightlifting, maybe some track cycling, I'm not sure. But you'd expect the United States to finish on top again. But if they don't, China will become the first country outside of the United States or Soviet Union to, other than a host, to finish top of the medal table. It's kind of remarkable when you look at it. So it's either United States or it used to be the Soviet Union back when there was a Soviet Union. They always shared it, except for four occasions when the hosts have managed to finish top. France in 1900, Britain in 1908, Germany in 1936. The less said about that Germany, the better, obviously. And China in 2008. Other than that, it's been the United States or the Soviet Union. So China have a chance to do something remarkable, but I think it will rely on France causing a couple of basketball shocks. So we'll have to see how that works out tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, so in terms, this is our last podcast. In terms of the Irish tomorrow, we do have Fionnuala McCormack running in the marathon, and best of luck to her. And we also have Cara Gillespie in the Omnium on the track. But it's goodbye for me.
Lara Gillespie.
Did I say Cara? Pardon me. Yeah. Lara Gillespie.
No worries.
Yes, so I got the event right, and it's track
cycling.
When it comes to track cycling, that's normally the part I get wrong. So look, I just want to say thank you to Raf and to Jesse, who've been on several times, and to Jim and to David and the Olympians who came on, and everybody else who came on, RTE Pundits. I've enjoyed doing this, and people have enjoyed listening to it. And sure, we might see you in LA in 4 years. So thanks, Raf. Thanks, Jesse. And thank you, everybody else. Good luck.
Goodbye.